The season of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. And we thank you that although we say that Jesus is the reason for the season, we are actually the reason for the season because he came for us. Amen. And Father, we praise you for it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was only going to read a few verses, but I want to read 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to start in verse 1. It says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, who I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the Christ, chief shepherd, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." And so he's talking about pastors there, okay? But he goes, "Likewise, the younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And then he goes, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now, I read all that because as I want to talk about how to be worry and stress-free. Amen. Actually, one of the things I put in there is releasing the pressure valve, handling the stress and pressure of everyday life. How many of you know you have stress and pressure? How many don't have any stress and any pressure? You're not pressured because December 25th is just around the corner, okay? And but so I want to talk about that tonight, about worry, about stress, and how to get rid of it. I mean, there is a way to get rid of it from your life. You're not immune from it. It's there. And if you stay with me, you know, this won't be a boring message, but it will be a good message. All right. As a matter of fact, just before we go any further, if you have your Bibles, I want you to underline, verse 7, underline the word casting, the word care, the word sober, the word vigilant, because these are all key words that we want to look at tonight, all right? And I believe you're going to get some helpful teaching and help from what I have for you. And I understand, I fully understand how worry and stress tries to affect us, affect everybody, affects me. And there are moments and when it tries to reach out and grab you, really when you least expect it. Okay, you know, everything's just going along real good, and all of a sudden something happens, and the worry and the stress comes in your life. And as a minister, and really Paul is talking to ministers in this verse of scripture, okay, and he's telling Peter, but as a minister, whether you're a minister, whether you're in a ministry, or just a Christian, all right, and in me it's all three, we've faced many attacks through the years in our lives that could tear you up. Things could just tear you up and upset you if you allow yourself to let it. Okay? And it's a pleasure you don't want. And I understand the struggles that people face, you know? And the devil has tried to put many obstacles in our paths, whether myself, and for years. And the good news is, if we could take authority over this things, over the attacks, we could live above them. God never promised that they wouldn't be there. And for us to live victoriously over stress and worry, we have to put the principles of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, 8, and 9 into play in our lives. And that's what I really want to talk about tonight. You know, if you've been dealing with worry, if you've been dealing with fear, stress, or the concerns that really, you know, people get ulcers, all types of situations happen in our life all the time. And it could be a difficulty over something that's happening in your life right now. I don't know. I don't know what everybody's going through. But I believe this will help us. And if you have a pen and you have a marker, take it out, write it down, okay? Because you need to write stuff down, all right? I'm totally convinced of that, because we're going to underscore some big things, and we're going to look at the Greek tonight, okay? So you'll pull some treasures out of the Greek. You know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I could read, okay? So that's all that counts. As long as you can read, you're good. You're good to go. But it says here in these verses of Scripture, let's just look at chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The first thing I just want to point out there real quickly is cast all. Everybody say all. You know, in the Greek, the word all, it's an interesting word. It means all. Okay? It means everything you have, just give it to God. All right? Casting all your cares. Be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary. And he begins with casting your care upon him. And that's talking about God. And the Greek word, the word casting is from a Greek word which is used in New Testament to picture a person who was carrying a heavy load and was too exhausted to go any further. You know, we see pictures on television, you know, soldiers running up the hill and they got out their nap, they got everything on, they get to the top and they just collapse. Heavy load. That's what this indicates to us. And it's figuratively, it's just talking about concern. And it's talking about and we're supposed to cast it off, is what he's saying here. So it's a picture of a person who's got all this heavy burden on his life, on his back. And he is struggling. He's out of breath. He's out of water. He's just going as far as he could go till he's at the point of exhaustion and he claps. Can anybody relate to that? All right. So, figuratively, it means concern or care, and it just casts it off. Cast that rather than bear this whole burden ourselves. And this is what I like about this: that man would find a mule or a workhorse. Okay, because he says, "Cast all your care." All right, and this is picturing a person. All right, and. Because the word's in there twice, excuse me. But he would find a workhorse, a mule, to carry the load for him. He'd put the saddle on the mule or a blanket on the back of the beast, and he'd cast everything on it. And there's an interesting story over in the book of Matthew, in Luke chapter 19, verse 35, when Jesus was going into Jerusalem. They took it and cast their garments over the beast of burden. And it's the same Greek word that's used over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting, throwing something. And it describes that the donkey actually carried Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. He was, you know, we call him the beast of burden. You know, and really what God is telling us here, folks, the stuff you're going through in life, it's too heavy for you. And you're trying to carry it, and it's killing you. It's worrying you. It's giving you high blood pressure. It's making you sick. It's giving you anxiety. It's giving you fear. That's what it's doing in your life. And he's saying, basically, I'm your beast of burden. I want to take it from you. I want to carry it for you. And that's what he's talking there. And so they brought Jesus the donkey, and they cast it, that same word, their garments on it, and the donkey was there to carry Jesus and his load, and he didn't have to carry it by himself, all right? He didn't have to carry it by himself. And then you know what? When you go to an airport and a guy comes out, how many of you go to the airport, you got all your luggage and everything, and you don't want to pay the $2 to the guy to carry your luggage? So you're like trucking through the airport, dragging all this stuff and putting. If the guy comes along, you give him $2, he takes it, puts it on the thing, and you just go. No stress, no worry, you know, the whole thing. Same concept here. You're casting your load onto that cart, and the guy's taking it for you. And you're just walking through the airport like, hey, here I am. But we just love to carry our luggage through the airport. Just, we don't want to part with that $2. Because when you're not on wheels, that break anyway. They're good. If it's a new piece of luggage, you go to the airport, you get on the plane. You know, we went to Italy. I was in Florida and bought new luggage. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't real expensive, but it wasn't cheap. And it was nice luggage. We went to Italy, and we came back and got off the plane in Newark. I looked at the luggage and I said, we should have bought the $2 luggage because it was beat to death, smashed in. I mean, it's like the wheels weren't working. Finally, I told the guy, come over and take my luggage, would you? I don't want to be bothered with my luggage. Anyway, but we're still talking about this beast of burden, okay? So to get Jesus where he needed to go, that donkey was used to carry the load to make this trip less stressful. And so this word that Peter uses, he says, casting your care upon him. Now, there's several powerful points here when we look at this case. It tells us, first of all, God doesn't want you to handle everything yourself, okay? God wants to be involved in your life every single day. Every single day. He wants to help you. He's there. You know, he's given us the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, to walk alongside of us. It's called the paraclete. You know what I mean? So it's important. God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. He wants you to saddle up, throw all your weight on him, and then climb on for the ride. And I like that. And he wants to carry you. He wants to carry your load. He wants to be your transportation. People go. And that is so important. And this is what people do. We get real religious now. People go, oh, I don't want to bother the Lord. Now they want to bother the pastor. They want to bother their friends, but they don't want to bother the Lord. They're real, real, what do you call it about it? They're real sincere because their voice changed. Oh, like they're talking low, like God's not going to hear them. I don't want to bother the Lord. It's so small to talk to the Lord about it. It's not so serious. I could just carry it myself. But there's no need to carry it yourself. First Peter tells us that God is standing in front of you saying, please, throw your burdens on my back. That's what he's saying. All right. Saddle up on my broad shoulders, because your shoulders are not big enough to carry the load, all right? Try to stop handling everything by yourself, because I'll tell you right now, you're doing a real bad job. Amen. See, when the world tries to get me down, when cares try to get me down, and they do, and I must admit, I have my moments every once in a while when things will get you down. And they try to do it to all of us, every one of you. There's not one person exempt from it. That's when I realized that I've unintentionally picked up the burden and started carrying again. Because I try to give it all to God every day. But you know what? You go through the day, things happen, and before you know it, you're like stressing, you're worrying, you're concerned. And you unintentionally, you can't help it. It just happens. It comes back on you. You know, we think we get up in the morning, we pray a little prayer, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm awake, lead me, and that's it. No, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. We need to be constantly fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. But Pastor, I work. You could still work, and your mind could still be on the things of God. You don't check out. And we have, what, we worry about paying bills. We worry about getting all our work done on time. Worry about people with problems. In the church, you know, church members worry about department head conflicts. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And these are the same basic worries that everybody has. Your kids, your grandkids, you name it, and the list goes on. And we concern ourselves. And that's when that stuff happens to me personally, I hear this little voice on the inside tell me, your shoulders aren't big enough to handle and carry the weight you're carrying. It's kind of like God saying, look at your shoulders, then look at mine. There's no comparison, you know? But you know, and when you realize that, oh, man. When you realize that you're carrying a load you don't have to carry, that's when you learn to cast it. And cast it actually means throw, like cast in a fishing pole. Get it out of your life, you know. And there's something else important with this word casting, you know, that we shouldn't forget. It says the word casting, again, describes a donkey or a workhorse that wants to be your transportation. All right, and then this means that if you allow God, really allow God to do it, he'll pick you up and carry you. Amen. He'll carry you to success on your job. He'll carry you to financially stable waters. He'll carry you to peace in your relationships. He'll carry you past the mistakes you've made. How many have made mistakes? Okay. He'll carry you from where you are to where you need to get. He just wants to be your Uber. All right? And so really, why in the world would we want to do something alone when we have Jesus to help us, our load bearer, our transportation, to help us through all these things? You know, Jesus says, come to me, all you that are heavy, that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew chapter 11. He said, I will give you rest. Amen. Wow. So then we have to ask ourselves, how'd that happen? Okay. When is a burden too small? You know, it's interesting. There's never a too small a burden. He said casting all. So that means there's nothing too small. You know, and so he says care, and the word care, let's look at the word care in that verse of scripture. Interesting little word, all right? It's a Greek word that describes anything that causes you to feel concerned. Anything that makes you feel anxious, fretful, nervous, tense, uneasy, uptight, all worked up, edgy, oversensitive, or worried. I don't think I missed anything. All right? So if they describe you, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, they don't have to describe you anymore. You could cast your worries. You can cast your burdens and fear all over on the Lord. He is just begging us to do that. He's the creator. He's begging us, cast it over on me because you can't handle it. You know, I always talk about my brothers, my one brother. He's the champion worrier. He just worries about everything. And he always used to tell me, you never worry about anything. And I used to tell him, why should I? You do enough. He does worry enough for both of us. But he concerns himself about everything. And I gave you the stories, you know, with the keys, you know, from my condo. Like, he's just like nuts over the keys. Relax with the keys already. I think of some of the stuff that he would ask me, and I would just look at him, and he'll go, so what are you going to do about that? One time, several years ago, And we were dealing with another bank. We were way behind on a mortgage, and they wanted to foreclose on this property. So I get a phone call from the guy at the bank, and they're coming down to meet with me. And I'll never forget that big table that's in the little conference room out there. It used to be upstairs. Now, it's amazing because everybody I knew was gone. So I'm sitting up there, and I have me, I have the one guy from the bank, another guy from another bank who partnered with them, and the big shot down the other end of the table, who's like, he's the hatchet man. And he looks at me, and he goes, you know, you get all this technical stuff. And I said, I told you what I would do. He said, I'll just pay the interest, and when things get easy, we'll catch up. No. And this one guy's turning all red. He's getting mad. He's going, well, what are you going to do about it? And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to tell the guy. What am I going to do about it? Only thing I could say, nothing. I said, what do you want me to do? I tell the guy, I said, what do you want me to do? I says, you got all the paperwork at the church. You know how much money's coming in. What do you want me to do? You tell me what to do, and I'll be happy to do it. You want me to not pay the electric and everything else and give you the money, then we don't have no electric, and then they won't get their money, and you won't get your money because we won't be a... What do you want me to do, Mr. Man at the end of the table? What do you want me to do? You seem to have all the answers. Tell me what to do. And the guy just went... I said, so you want to know what I'm going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I says, but this thing I will tell you. When the smoke settles, I'll still be standing right here. Because it was a burden I couldn't handle. And guess what? Still here. I'll never forget it, that guy. He was shocked. I go, what do you want me to do? Tell me. I'll do it. So you want to go rob a bank? We'll go rob a bank. I said, oh, you're a banker. Where's the delete button? You know, where's the delete button for the mortgage? Delete it. And we're done. They ask you dumb, it's like reporters ask like Trump dumb questions. He goes, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Obviously, I haven't paid you in 8 months. We're not doing too good here right now. What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Tell me, what would you like me to do? I'm going to take $500 a week, you know, till things... What? That same bank did something to a friend of ours that me and Eddie know very well. Took their property from them. Somebody asked me the other day, why don't you work with them? Work with them. They're lucky I don't throw a rock at the building when I go by it. Because finally, when down the road, when it came time to like finally pay them with the way things worked out, they charged me so much interest and penalties and they wouldn't budge on it. And the church owed me $80,000 or $62,000. And I was supposed to get it back with that. And they charged me so much interest and penalties that I couldn't get my money back. And they wouldn't budge. So, yeah, I like to throw a rock right through their window when I go by. Bless God. And I won't even be stressful about it. Just go sit there and pull a plug on their Christmas lights. Fix them. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, it is. That's why I'm not mentioning the bank. But if I keep going, I will. And if I could go on and on with it, forget it. No, it's not Wells Fargo. They're just as bad.
No, they got a Christmas tree.
Who? The one where I go. Good. They're still bad. I'm battling with them, too, over something else. Totally different scenario. Nobody ever gets back to you. So they never get back. You call them up. You want to... It has to do, you know, with inheritance and stuff. And, like, they don't want to... They don't call you back. I faxed them, emailed them everything they want 4 times. Then they send me a nasty letter, which really got me mad. Then I called up their lawyer, and they started. I said, I don't understand you people, man. I says, let's fix this. It's a mistake. I sent you all the papers 4 times. Yeah, don't let it bother me. I just stick the envelope on the thing. I said, you know what? That's why God made lawyers. And I did have a lawyer. He said, give me their name and number. I gave him the number. He said, I'll call him up, get some action. So I got to see what he did. But that's if he got any action. Anyway, I'm sorry to get carried away there. But got to learn to cast it on God. That's the whole deal. Just what could you do? You know, really, what can you do? You could only give it to God. You could sit, worry about, you know, I'm not worried about it. It'll all work out. God's got my back. And anything, God has our back. So, you know, and so, again, that word care means to anything that makes you tense, uneasy, you know. And I'm not saying you can't talk to a person. You know what I'm saying? Listen, they don't have no problem getting loud with you. You know, I don't go in there and go, oh, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian. You know, We're talking about, like, they ain't persecute me because I'm a Christian. Amen. They want my money. It's a whole other story. It's another story. My son, one time, was in school, Christian school. And they got into a little tussle with the principal's son. So, my son threw him down the stairs. There was only a couple of steps. So we get called in the office. I go, my wife was there. And he goes, well, but your son started. He goes, well, what about turning the other cheek? I said, what about turning the other cheek, buddy? I says, he wasn't persecuting. Let's get the Bible out. Let's see what that verse is talking about. When you're persecuted for the gospel, turn the other cheek. He ain't persecuted for the gospel. Your son was picking on him, and he gave him something right back. He went. I says, I'll tell you something. If I'm walking down the street, somebody comes up to my wife, does something, I'm going to knock the snot out of them. People get so they get like they go spiritual bonzo on you. Because they what interpret it, what it means. Am I right? My wife's looking at me like, why don't you shut up? I don't have nothing to hide. Nothing. Not a thing, man. Anyway, but God wants us to cast our burden on him. But we don't have to take stuff from people either. We don't have to be a doormat. For some reason, Christians think they have to be a doormat for stuff. No, you need to stand up for what's rightfully yours without doing bodily harm to anybody. And I have to pray for that a lot. It's like the fifth step in the 12-step program. You know, make amends with people as long as it's not going to do any harm to them. You know, I'll be loud as long as I'm not going to do bodily harm to you. Matthew says God wants us to be fed. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, what are you worrying about? Do the birds worry? You know how that verse goes. He wants us to be fed. He wants us to be clothed. He wants us to have all our needs met. That means he wants your bills paid. He wants our kids clothed. He wants our needs met because he cares for us. He cares for us. And the word careth, again, as seen above, means God himself is so concerned about you. I'll never, that day, going back to the story upstairs, they walked out of there, and I was such, like, tense. And I said, God, I can't do anything. There's no door to go through. Nothing happened, whatever. So you got it. You got it. And I don't care how you do it. And he did it. He did it through someone who I refused to go to and even tell them what was going on, because who wanted to hear them? And somehow they found out. Anyway, so he's really concerned for us, and he'll use the most unlikely people in your life to help you if you truly give it to them and give it to him, okay? Because he's aware of every need. He knows what you're going to need tomorrow, okay? He just knows what we're going to need in tomorrow. He knows what you're going to need 10 minutes from now, and we have to believe that, and that's our primary concern. If he's going to take care of the animals, he'll take care of us. Now we're going to just do one more. We're going to go down to verse 8 here. Just do one word in verse 8, and we'll finish this up next week, because verse 8 has a lot of things to do. But, you know, what happens with stress and worry, when we get stressful and we get worried, it makes our concerns get blown out of proportion. Okay? And it's interesting, in verse 8, we see Peter, he says, be sober. Everybody say, be sober. Okay? And the word sober comes from a Greek word which means not to be drunk. Okay? So what's that have to do with this? Well, I'll tell you. A drunk is so intoxicated with his emotions, we call them basket cases. But they get intoxicated, and everything is exaggerated, worse than it is. And the view of whatever he's going through is to the extreme. And nobody could understand what that person's going through because it is so blown out of proportion. What are we going to do about it? And so what happens is they don't see reality. They just don't see reality. And because he's intoxicated, he can't see things in the proper focus. And everything is just surmountable. So he's saying, be sober. And he uses this word to explain what happens to us when we get under the load of care. When we let care attach itself to us, the load is so heavy in our life that it affects us adversely, so bad that we're not able to see things. But not only does it affect us, it affects everyone else around us. It affects our family, affects our spouse, our kids, everybody, our coworkers, everything, because you are to the extreme, because you are so intoxicated with the problem that you're facing. That makes sense? Okay? And, you know, and so we become super sensitive. Dear God, we say something, somebody says something to us, we're ready to freak. Okay? And things that wouldn't upset us normally, all of a sudden somebody says something, it's like consumed. It's blown out of proportion because we're intoxicated. We're drunk with worry. We're drunk with worry. We're drunk with stress. We're drunk with anxiety and fear. And you see all these advertisements on television for people who are going through stress and anxiety. And you know what? Listen, if you got to take something, I'm not against that. You know, on the other hand, with the way addiction is today, you need to be careful because you can become addicted to all that stuff too. Amen. All right? The stuff they're giving you to help your anxiety really could have a worse effect on you in the long run. Amen. So, but sometimes people need that, you know, to help them. And so we're not against that. But the best thing, you know, everybody wants to be holistic. Everybody wants everything natural. You're not getting more no holistic than this here right now. You're not getting any more holistic than that, but your brother Jesus help you. And your Father God carry your load. It doesn't get any more holistic than that. Okay? But if you got to start out where you got to start out, not a problem. But so it happens. And things who, and we begin to feel things that don't exist. I had an aunt who got in, I don't know if she was in a car accident or something happened. She was in a car accident. And she, like, she was afraid to go in cars. She was anxious. And all of a sudden, she would, her, and she would come to church by us. It was my mother's sister. She would come to church by us, and she would go, "My clothes are too big." And your clothes, you know. And she would got so obsessed and anxious and worried over all these external things in her life that she ended up in a nursing home. And she would, like, I used to go see her once in a while, and you know, she would know me at first, and then as time went on, she was so obsessed with all these fear and anxiety and worry that she didn't even recognize who I was anymore. Only one she would recognize was her daughter. And that's what it does to us. So we really need to be careful, because things get so blown out of proportion because we are so drunk with worry and anxiety, and it's filled us, and it's difficult to refocus and get a grip on reality. Man, you know what? It's all temporary. It really is temporary. Some people might say, "Well, I'm wired that way." Well, guess what? It's time to get rewired. That's why Peter says, "Be sober." He's warning us. If we allow worry, fear, anxiety, and concerns to overwhelm us, they're going to blur our vision and make us see and feel things in an overstated way that are not really good. I always use that example, and we'll close here in a minute. You know, it's like a person gets up in the morning and they got a pain in their back of their neck right here. And they're going, "Oh, my God, it's a pain. Oh," and then now they're doing this. Feels like a lump. Wow, could be cancer. You know, my mother had cancer there. Oh God, now this side, I think this side hurts too. Hon, could you feel that? Do you feel anything right there? You know, and before, I better go to the doctor. By the time you get to the doctor, you're looking at yourself in a coffin. And he goes, "There's nothing wrong. It's a pimple." And you, but that's what, but you, it's funny. It's funny, but that's the way anxiety and fear work if we don't get control of it immediately. That's the way it works. In everybody, I don't care who you are. All right? So, God didn't design us to worry and fret. You know, we're not designed that way. You know, and when we begin to carry what God didn't intend us to carry, it has a negative effect on us physically, emotionally. You know, it physically will make us sick. Emotionally, it causes us to break down. And we're not fashioned by God to do that, to be the bearer of such negative emotions. God wants us to try to carry the, God doesn't want us to try to carry these, because he knows if we do carry them ourselves, it's going to take us down. Now, next week, we're going to talk into this, because we're going to go over verse 8, because it says here, let me read it. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the King James has a different word there. It's not adversary, but in the Greek it means adversary. Okay, be casting. But he's telling us that he's telling us to maintain a grip on reality and not let go. And I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll find out next week when we look at this. If you do, your adversary is going to eat your lunch. He's the that word adversary actually means prosecutor, lawyer. And he will take the facts and he will blow them out of proportion in your life and get you agreeing with him. Yes. You know, you ever see like a special victims unit when the guy goes, "You know you killed her, didn't you?" Yeah. That's what he does. You know, you did act foolishly. You did overspend. Now look at you, right? Ooh, yeah. But that's what he does. Say amen or oh me. Let's go. Let's sing a Christmas carol. Let's sing joy to the world. Woo, glory. You know, just say, "Father, I'm no longer going to carry this load. I'm giving it all to you in the name of Jesus." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.